It is time to move along, and we are going to turn our attention to the positive points on aging. And with that, we say very good morning to our friend from over at Oak Leaf Village, our good friend Karen Pickard. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Kev. Good morning, Brian. I hope y'all are well.
We are doing well. Thank you for asking. How's the cold temperatures coming in? Not too bad?
They're fine. Yeah. I don't mind them.
Yeah.
For a change.
Not too bad.
We don't get snow. That's really all that matters.
See, I like snow when it's coming down.
Yeah.
I don't like snow once it's hit the ground and we got to deal with driving in it and it freezes or it gets slushy and nasty.
And nasty looking.
Yeah, that I don't like. But when it's coming down, it's beautiful.
It's great. Yeah. And occasionally when it snows here and all it does is just snow and
right.
it doesn't stick,
doesn't
that's
accumulate.
Fine.
Yeah, that is nice.
I can do that.
That is nice. Well, I know the kids, Brian and I were talking about this earlier this morning, about the kids. Like, do they get snow days if they're still doing virtual school from home already? What's the difference? Why would they give them a school day? And I guess it's because the teachers wouldn't be able to go in, so they would still get a snow day. I'm assuming.
I guess.
Because you can't expect the teachers to drive on the roads either.
No, you can't. So. But some of the teachers are teaching from home,
yes,
too.
Yeah.
So
who knows?
What do you do?
I don't know.
That's another problem I don't have to worry about.
Exactly. I hear you. Well, we do. We've got two teenagers
at
home right now.
Yeah.
So every day we're still trying to figure out what tomorrow is going to bring, which is why it leads right into what we wanted to talk about, because every day we're still not sure what tomorrow is going to bring when it comes to what we're talking about here today. And we want to talk about, you know, this the holiday season. As you and I were just talking off the air, you know, the weather outside is what it is, but there's a lot of stress that comes along with the holidays for a lot of folks.
And, you know, the carols and all the things talk about what a wonderful time of year. But
right.
in the senior care industry, for years, we have always said this can be the worst time of year for seniors. And now, all of a sudden, everybody is experiencing what it's like to be isolated, separated from your loved ones,
right.
and alone this time of year. And it's not really so much fun. You can't go shopping because
right.
you're not supposed to be in the malls and you're afraid of it. You can do some things online, but not everybody does stuff online. And so it's a scary, scary time of year. And I realized it one day at home not long ago. I was there and I was thinking, I'm just crabby and I'm not doing things right. And I was trying to figure out what it was. And it's
mm-hmm.
just the uncertainty of what we're looking at with COVID. We've got the vaccine, but we don't really know what the vaccine's going to bring.
Right.
And so there's a lot of uncertainty right now.
Well, there is. And as we apply this to our seniors, you know, again, I think about my own mom. And mm-hmm. I look at my mom and I think about someone who she, you know, this is getting probably more personal than we need to get. But, you know, I won't let mom pay for anything anymore.
Right.
Okay. And that's just the way it is. She used to pay for everything. When we go out to dinner, she'd pay for the whole family dinner all the time.
Right.
And I said, Mom, we're at the point now where it's my turn to take care of you. So she's like, well, you take care of me all the time and you do this and that. And she said, can I ever take you? I said, yeah. If you tell me in advance, hey, I'd like to take you guys out to dinner yeah. every now and then, I'm fine with that. And so she said to me the other night, hey, this is one of those times I'm asking you, can I take you guys out to dinner? And I said, Mom, no.
No.
Not right now. I said, I can't feel good taking you anywhere right now. Even
right.
if it's outside, I can't take you out right now. And I said, I don't want you to be a prisoner in your own home. You know, I'll still come over and I'll eat with you. I'll bring you dinner,
right.
you know, stuff like that. But I don't even want you around the kids right now because they're going to school and I don't want them coming around you.
Yeah, and you don't know what they've been in contact with.
That's what I mean. And mom is already immunocompromised. She has COPD. She has multiple sclerosis. So she has, you know, her share of reasons why I got to be very careful about her. Plus, she's just, you know, she's also 75 years old.
Right.
So there's enough reasons for, but that's what I'm talking about, though, Karen, with some of the depression that could set in.
Absolutely.
So I'm calling her all kinds of times during the day now, and I'm making sure the grandkids are calling her and making sure that she's talking to people throughout the day. My cousin Kenny, who lives in California, called me yesterday, and I said, hey, as soon as you're done talking to me, call your Auntie Ruthie.
Right.
And he did. And so my point is, we got to be really making sure, especially now with COVID, that we're engaging our seniors.
We absolutely have to. And you know, the statistics are still out. The numbers are not here yet because it's still a little early. But one of the things I was looking at the National Institute of Health, and they did a study in 2018, and 27% of the population said they felt isolated and alone. And then they did it again this year, and it's jumped to 56%.
That's twice as many people.
Yeah, that's a lot of people feeling scared and alone. And it's the other interesting thing that I thought was that they said that a lot of people still did social media. They do Zoom and FaceTime and all those things. But the population between 50 to 80% or 80 years of age still felt isolated and alone, even with social media. There's not that one-on-one human contact, even though we've got it.
Right.
And thank goodness we do. And you can call your Auntie Ruth and do what you need to do.
Right.
But it's not the same thing as being face-to-face.
No. And to the young kids today, FaceTime is enough for a lot of them because they're so it's all technology.
And they're used to it.
For folks like us, you know, I'm 52 years old. I'm from a generation where there's something special about hugging somebody or having a handshake, even if it's just a handshake, but some type of physical contact and face-to-face, eye-to-eye, there's something magical about that. I don't want my kids to get to a point where all they do is text me. I want them to call me. I want them to want to see me. I hope I never get to the point where all I'm doing is FaceTiming with my children and they don't want to come have dinner with me.
And that's what we're doing now.
Right.
We've asked people who don't even understand FaceTime to do nothing but FaceTime their loved ones.
And my mom doesn't even have that equipment because, frankly, you know, she would be lost and she would get frustrated and angry and because she's just not, she's as smart as a whip, but cognitively she doesn't do well with buttons and she gets very intimidated by anything electrical.
Right. Well, and, you know, Facebook has their portal, which is a wonderful device. You can say, call Kev.
Right.
And it will do that. And you'll come up on the screen, but people with dementia see faces on a screen and wonder how they got there and why aren't they just in the next room? It's very confusing.
It can be challenging to our seniors for sure. And the reality is, though, what are we doing about it? I mean, what can we do? How do we help the seniors to cope?
You know, there's a lot of things we can do, but a lot of it has to start with what we do for ourselves first. I'm a great believer if you don't help yourself, you can't help other people. You've got to be healthy yourself. You've got to know that you're not around people who have COVID and that you're taking care of yourself. So what do? You've got to eat better. I saw a friend from church the other day, and she's probably lost 40 pounds. And I said to her, what have you been doing? She said, well, I took advantage of COVID. Instead of cooking desserts, I'm making healthy meals. I'm taking care of myself. I'm getting exercise. I'm not going to a gym, but I'm walking. There's exercise classes online. They may not be the best, but you can do all that for yourself online.
Yeah, taking care of yourself instead of gaining the COVID-19, maybe try to lose the COVID-19. That is one way of doing it. But that's challenging, too. It really is hard for people because when we're alone, we tend to buy the comfort foods and we tend to isolate and we sit there and we're watching more TV because there's less activities. A lot of people can't go to the gym the way they're maybe used to. And Brian's a perfect example of somebody who was a gym rat, loved going to the gym. But when he's not in his rhythm, he's talked about this at length, when he's not in his rhythm of doing things, it's very hard for him. Even though he wants to exercise, it's hard for him to find that substitute at home.
It's a habit. Yeah. And we lose habits, whatever it is, whether it's exercising or going to the gym or however you choose to do it.
Yeah.
You lose those things if you don't keep it up. But it is vitally important that we do. It is also important that we're doing things like getting regular sleep.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm not. And that's
Nor
when
am
I know I am struggling. Yeah. There's a problem.
Yeah. I don't do well with that either.
I wake up at 2 in the morning and then have to go to work and I'm exhausted all day long.
Yeah.
And that's just little things, though, that we have to do. Exercise helps that. You know, getting out. And there's a prayer attributed to St. Francis, and one of the lines in it is, in giving, we receive, basically to paraphrase it. So what can we do to help other people that helps us? And that's something you have to think about, too. When you help other people, you help yourself.
Yeah.
One of the parts of the study that I was looking at was talking about we're seeing neighborhood involvement come back to life. You know, for years, people didn't even know their neighbors.
True.
People work out of the house, they drive, they get up at 5 in the morning and drive to a job and then don't get home till after dark, and they didn't even know who their neighbors are. I see people walking in my neighborhood now that I didn't know existed.
That's a good thing. If you're going to find silver linings, that's one of the silver linings to COVID. We'll come back. We've got Karen with us for our positive points on aging. Stay with us.
Mornings with Kev. Park Fireside Studios.
It's Mornings with Kev and Brian.
All right, we're 9 minutes now before 9 o'clock. Don't forget the Home Advocates coming up with Courtney and Jeremy, a best of show. Courtney's a little under the weather today, so we'll have a best of show for you from past. So that's coming your way in a little bit. Right now, though, we're talking with Karen Pickard from over at Oakley Village. It is our our positive points on aging segment that we do every Tuesday morning with Karen and with Marsha Clayman from Oakley Village. So I want to talk about coping and when it's something like over at Oakleaf, mm-hmm. you guys are having to deal with one of the depressions right now is that a lot of family is not able to come in and see. Right. There's a lot of reluctance about wanting to come in and who can come in. Even when you allow people to come in, there are, I don't mean Oakleaf, I mean right. universally at all of these facilities, there's limits on how many people can come in at once, all that stuff. And so as if it wasn't difficult enough on some of our seniors, it's even worse right now.
Oh, it's I don't even know what the word is anymore. It's crazy what they're having to go through. And we are governed by DHEC, and they tell us what we can and can't do.
Sure.
And that's really hard for families to understand. We're not making this up as we go along. And sometimes it changes daily. CDC comes in and says one thing, so DHEC says one thing, and then CDC says something
right.
else. And so we're all floating. We're all learning through this process. Family members are taking their loved ones home for the holidays sometimes if they think they can care for them safely.
Right, right.
But the minute they come back, they have to go into quarantine again. Now,
right.
quarantine is no longer 14 days. They're saying we can do it a little bit less. We've got rapid testing. And some things have improved since March when it was really locked down. We did a cookie drop-off the other day at Oakleaf Village, and we had cookies baked and gave them to families, and they drove through, and they got to talk to their loved ones, and Santa was there. So you try to give them as much interaction as possible, but they get 15 minutes a visit, and they get to visit them twice a week. That's not very much time.
No, it's really not a lot of time, and again, it's not, I can't stress enough, that's not your rules. That's the rules that are imposed by the
yeah.
DHEC folks, and you gotta follow it. We know what's happened all around the country when it
right.
comes to these facilities, so we're being extra vigilant. And I think as a son, or in my case with my cousin Bob, who's at one of these
right.
facilities, I'd rather you guys be extra vigilant than under. And so
absolutely.
I can live with it. I'm fine with it as the person who is looking out for my cousin Bob. I think it's imperative that you guys go overboard on being careful versus the other way around.
Well, we need to. I mean, you have entrusted your loved one with us to take care of, so we have to be responsible
yeah.
and do the right thing. It's very sad, though, to me, because what we are seeing is that it's not only depressing our residents, though, it's depressing their families.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about positive points on aging, and there are a lot of positive things happening with COVID, and I would like to talk a little bit about some of those things
yeah.
and what we can do as a society to help one another. You know, you can, and people are doing things for people in assisted living. They're making them gifts. They're bringing us food. I can't tell you, the family members have just gone overboard for our staff, but they're also going overboard for the residents,
sure.
giving them homemade gifts, knitting them blankets, that sort of thing. But what can you do as a society to help one another? You know, depression is up on the rise. Doctors are saying they're seeing more people coming in looking for help with depression. Alcohol abuse and drug abuse are high, and suicide is creeping in
sure,
on us.
Sure, sure.
So we want to reach out as a society. I have a friend who is doing small things in his neighborhood. He goes, and one lady can't take her trash can to the end of the road. So once a week he goes and gets her trash can, takes it to the end of the road,
absolutely.
And brings it back. He mows another neighbor's yard because he can't. And now that the leaves are falling, he's blowing driveways and cleaning up the leaves in their yard. And
we all have that Mrs. Johnson up the road.
Absolutely.
Every neighborhood has Mrs. Johnson where you can do something for your neighbor and you can knock on her door. Hey, I'm going to this grocery store.
Right.
What can I get for
what
you?
What can I bring back for
right.
you? Prepare her a meal.
Right.
You know, Mrs. Johnson doesn't want to cook for herself, so do five individual small meals that she can put in the microwave. As much as I want people to move to assisted living and as much as I believe in assisted living,
right.
people aren't, that not everybody is going to move or can
sure.
afford to. So you have to find out how we can help Mrs. Johnson, because if you don't, somebody was telling me the story of their neighbor who didn't have any family, and they all were on a phone tree, and they all called her several times a day, kind of like you're doing for your mother.
Right, right.
And they found her. She had had an episode, and she had fallen, and she was on the floor, and they found her so somebody could call 911 and go help this woman.
Right.
If they didn't have this phone tree to call her several times a day, she would have laid there for
yeah.
nobody knows how long, because she couldn't get to her life alert button.
Yeah, that's very, very scary. And again, it might not seem like it's a big deal to you to do something as simple as taking someone's garbage down to the street right. and back, but it's a huge blessing that you're doing for somebody.
This lady couldn't do it, so right. what's she going to do? Exactly. She can't have her trash pile up. So it is, it's amazing. You don't think about the little things that you can do. You know, and nowadays, soup kitchens, thrift stores, We Care, food banks.
Sure.
They're all looking for people just to sit outside and count heads to know who's going to go in and go out.
Absolutely.
Everybody needs somebody to volunteer. The numbers of the jobless right now are astronomical, and it's only going to get worse. So how can we help one another? And that's what we have to look for.
That's a very, very, very good point. Things that we need to be considering is how can you help? And again, we're not asking you to quit your job and go do something. I mean, we're just talking about little things here and there and that you could do. And I love that phone tree concept.
Right.
You know, we have that, I guess, unofficially with my mom. But, I mean, if you know of Mrs. Johnson or you know of a relative, a senior, somebody that is going right now through some isolation, there's nothing better than if you keep her or him busy with a phone ringing every couple hours saying, hey, you know, just want to check in on you. Don't make it feel like it's a schedule or a burden.
No.
Just do it because it's the right thing to do.
Right. And, we, as Americans, I think we are a great nation of helpers, and we do try to take care of our neighbors in this country. And I think that that's what we're seeing again. Again, it goes back to the neighbors that you didn't know were even there. We're getting to know them better every day.
That's
nowadays.
Good.
So maybe something good is coming out of COVID in a way.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of depression out there, and you mentioned that the stats are what they are.
Right.
We want to make sure people know that there's a way to always get help.
Yeah. I do want to post the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It is 800-273-8255. If you ever need help, if you're ever alone and scared, call these people. They can talk. They're just there to be your friends. They're not there to judge. They're just there to help you out and give you some assistance. We're kind of all in this together.
Yeah, no doubt about that. If people do want questions or have questions about Oakleaf Village and they want to learn a little bit more about what you guys are doing over there, what is the best way for folks to find you?
Just give us a call at 803-808-3477.
Wonderful. Give me that number one more time.
803-808-3477.
And the website?
OakleafVillageLexington.com.
Perfect. Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you and Marcia next week together here taking care of business. Have yourself a wonderful Christmas, and thank you for coming on out.
If you have a wonderful vacation, I'm glad you're taking some time off.
Thank you, thank you. Home Advocates coming up next. I'll see everybody at 4 o'clock. For Karen, for Brian, I'm Kev. Thanks.
Mornings with Kev.
WQXL Columbia, W264DF.
From the Bart Fireside Studio, the solution for keeping you warm this winter.
This is 107 The Point.